Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, July 8th, as they call this Hump Day.
I thought you banned saying that a while ago.
I have, really. That's true, huh?
Yep, we haven't said it.
So why am I saying that? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe the day off yesterday threw you.
How are you, Jen?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Just fine?
Good. Actually good. I'm always good. It wasn't always that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now it is.
Good.
And that's a good thing. It's been like that for a while. Life is a smooth sailing for me.
Great.
Yeah, despite all the problems and everything. Not everybody can say that, of course. But you know what? I feel that everybody has the hard times in a different point in their life, you know. But everybody goes through shit. You
know? They do.
Yeah.
That's how you handle it.
Yeah, that's what life's about, you know. If it was going smoothly and there's no problems, what's the point of being here in the first place?
I don't know. That actually sounds quite nice.
Yeah. Huh?
I think we all say that, like, oh, what would life be like if we didn't have problems and we'd have nothing to do?
Right.
Those are just people with problems.
Yeah, obviously, you know. I mean, I remember when I had problems, I felt like the whole universe was against me. And that's not a great feeling, you know.
No.
So, but then you work out your problems, and you know, sometimes later in life, just like, you know, success in business and everything else. I mean, look at these guys that succeed so early on in their lives, you know. But then there's some people much later in life succeed.
Yeah. So my favorite stories are the ones of, like, somebody was on their last dollar, or they were living out of their car, and then they became J.K. Rowling.
Like, right.
You know those stories?
Uh-huh.
That gives me hope.
Yeah. A lot of people have those stories, and they become motivators, I guess, you know, like motivational speakers.
And uber successful. I mean, even Lisa on Monday was telling us, you know, what brought her to write her book was being so down and out and having so many things go wrong.
Right.
That's when you, like, have to reach deep within and find a solution on your own and become successful.
Right. It is up to you. You know, nobody can do it for you as much as they'd like to. You know, I mean, these, you know, putting your life back on track is something that you have to do. You know,
yeah.
People can't do for you. And some people don't understand that. I mean, I can understand people that are deeply depressed and everything, but they have at least to reach out for help.
Yeah.
You know, and many people don't. And it's a sad state of affairs when people stay depressed, they don't get any help, they lose hope, and, you know, it ends up badly.
Right. Well, on a more positive note, did I tell you
yes.
what happened to me on Monday?
No.
So I woke up on Monday morning after having, like, the whole holiday weekend, and I went to go start my car to drive here,
mm-hmm.
and my car wouldn't start.
Really?
Yeah. So it was because I had ran out of gas, and, like, really ran out of gas. Like, not, it's on empty, I can get to the gas station. No, it was, like, not going.
You're running on fumes at that point.
Right. And that had never happened to me. I mean, I'm 30 years old. It should
right.
never happen to anyone. You should be
right.
responsible enough if you have a car to get gas. So, however, I was distracted by the holiday weekend. I was dealing with, like, watching my friend's dog, driving him to daycare, taking him home. I just didn't get gas. So I figured Monday morning I'll wake up, I'll get gas, and I'll drive here.
Right.
No. So
wow.
thank God I had my friend's car that I was staying at her place, because I drove here in her car. While we were doing the radio show, Casey got me gas.
Wow.
Casey, our valet attendant downstairs, who has now become a friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And he went and got me gas, thankfully.
What, like in a can or something?
In a can.
Really?
Gave it to me.
Uh-huh.
I drove it back, filled up my tank. I had, like, spilled it all over myself. It was just a mess.
Oh, my God.
Then I had to, like, go to the gas station, fill up there. Then I took my car to be serviced. I went to Volkswagen, sat there all day. While my car was there for like 3.5 hours, I went and had lunch with my cousins at least, and then went back to Volkswagen,
yeah.
where one of the guys, like, proposed marriage to me because he saw my headshots in my trunk.
Wow.
He came and sat next to me and said, you have green eyes. I think we'd make beautiful babies. And I was like, I don't know that that's appropriate. My cousins were like, you should sue Volkswagen for sexual harassment.
That's true.
I was like, oh, I just thought I had a fan.
Yeah.
I was just happy I had one fan for the day.
You don't go around suing people and stuff, I guess not. You know, for being attracted to you.
Well, so I think people need to know their place, but also.
They do. They don't have boundaries sometimes. Right. And especially guys with women, you know?
Yeah.
No boundaries.
Also, I was trapped there. It's not like I could escape the man. Right, he was just sitting there, like, telling me weird things. So, so then my car was fixed and I drove home and watched The Bachelorette.
Wow. And he was thinking of gas, too?
I had changed because I'd filled the tank. I was still outside of the apartment that I was staying at. Changed, threw all my clothes in the laundry. I had to wash my clothes like 4 times.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, that smell.
It was disgusting.
Wow.
I think my clothes probably still smell like gas, but like I can mask it a little bit. And then like over time, I'm hoping it will go away. It was my favorite jeans too.
Oh, so. Wow.
But yeah, so I think, you know, that day could have been really bad. It was like not the best day. It was a little stressful. But
right.
It worked itself out.
But you took it in stride.
I mean, I have people helping me. So thankfully, Casey was like a gardening angel that day and got me gas.
Uh-huh.
And then my cousins took me to lunch and wasn't the worst day.
Yeah.
And some guy proposed marriage to me. So I was like,
yeah, there you go. You know, at least it's flattering.
Yeah.
Although it was done in a very crude way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, is this like a line you give to a woman? I mean, what is this? What was he thinking?
I don't know. First of all, it was like an invasion of privacy. Not that my headshots were hidden and he like found them. They were just strewn about in the trunk of my car. And they're from like 5 years ago. I should probably just throw them out. But I realized actually after that point, I was like, I need to clean my car up. My car is embarrassing. The things that live in my car, it's like my cousin even said to me, he's like, as long as I've known you, you've always had like the messiest car. He's like, you're not even a messy person, but you live in your car because you're always on the go. So I was like, shit, I need to organize better because I'm an organized individual.
Right. That's hard for me to
I know.
To understand.
Tell me about it. Yeah. Also, who uses printed headshots anymore anyway? Everything's digital. So those need to go in the trash.
Wow.
Or I'll be signing them and mailing them to people.
Yeah. So he went based on your pictures, not based on seeing you, right? Or was that like...
No, it was the other guys there. Before. No, he's the one who took my car. But then the other guys that worked at Volkswagen were the ones starting to do the inspection and stuff. And so they said to the guy, Calvin, I remember his name. So Calvin, if you're listening, I just called you out. On air. So they said to him, Calvin, you and Jennifer Golden, whose headshots are sitting right here, have green eyes. You should make babies together because you'd have pretty
babies.
That's
what they told him. So he came to you and told you that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, thank you for the compliment and offer. I'm going to go now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, so he's not a contender.
No.
You know, maybe he thought he was being funny and cute or something. Maybe he didn't think about it seriously. I don't know.
It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. But, so you told him it's not appropriate?
No.
Oh, you didn't tell him
that. I was like, thanks.
Okay.
But then I was listening to a radio show at the time. So I was like, I'm busy. You hear this? There's voices coming from my phone. Stop interrupting. And then I was like editing the video for me and Lauren. And I was just sitting there waiting for my cousins to come save me. Uh-huh. And the guy just kept coming up to me. I'm like, I don't look not busy. I'm busy.
Right. Wow.
My head is down.
Yeah.
I don't look approachable.
And he's in the middle of his work day.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. You could definitely complain about it, but what for, right?
I don't know.
It's over and it's gone. And done.
Yeah, it didn't really ruin my day, so I don't care.
Yeah.
And my car got fixed, so all is well in the world.
Yeah.
And I edited Lauren in my video, so.
Mm. So you got something accomplished.
I did.
Right. Wow. But, I mean, I don't know if he's successful with women with those lines, but.
I think he's actually married. That's a point I forgot to point out.
Oh, okay.
I think he had a wedding ring on, and I was like, well, that's even worse. I feel like this is a weird dream.
Right. Mm. Yeah, people are crazy, man. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, I believe from Canada, and we're going to talk to him about the projects he's working on. There's so much in the news today. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But I think by now everybody's seen the video of the FSU quarterback hitting the woman in the bar. Have you seen that one?
No, I didn't see that.
Really? Have you heard of it?
No.
Yeah. I mean, it was all over the social media. There's like a video in the bar, and they're showing this woman, young woman standing by the bar. Then this guy approaches her, and, you know, there's no audio, so you don't know what they're saying to each other. Suddenly, she's, like, pushing him, and he slaps her hard that she's bleeding, and he walks away. So people made a big deal out of it, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think he was suspended or kicked out or whatever. But now his lawyer said, yeah, she yelled racial slurs, blah, blah, blah.
You don't slap her, though.
No.
Walk away or be like, homegirl, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, even if it's a guy, you don't do that. You know, I mean, it can be a war of words, but that's it.
Right.
You know?
You have to know. I mean, please, I want to hit people all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
But I don't. Because, hello.
Right.
You can't. You can't just walk around hitting people.
No, no. And especially not women in a public place. I mean, that is like so disgusting. I can't even begin to describe how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I mean, you know, go and mess with people your own size, you know. But, you know, but I'm thinking, you know, if you're in a bar and somebody like reaches over to slap you, to push you, I think it's an instinct almost to hit back.
Well, you know? I mean, yes, and people will say it's like self-defense or whatever. It's a reaction. Right. But you have to know better. And if you're an adult, you've lived plenty of years of life already where you probably faced things that were annoying or insulting or frustrating where you didn't hit. Don't hit.
Yeah.
Just don't.
But he was hit too.
By her. I mean, yeah. What was this woman, a sumo wrestler?
No, I mean, I understand. But the thing is that even if it was a man, it would have been the same thing, you know. So it's not like... you know, I don't know if he hit her because she's a woman or whatever, but yeah. I mean, I can't see it being in self-defense when they start analyzing this and everything. They'll say she wasn't a threat to him. And
right, he's
that
a
stuff.
Much bigger dude, I'm sure.
Right. But if she assaulted him first, it's not going to be a clear-cut thing. You
I
know?
Guess, but I mean,
it's
still,
hard to watch, though.
Still.
Yeah. I know, I know. So, yeah, so that's that. Now, the case with the Subway guy, the pitchman for Subway.
Oh, yeah, Jared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've heard the story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has not heard of the fact that his home was searched and he was arrested for child porn. And suddenly everybody is dropping him like a hot potato.
As they should. He also has a children's organization to end childhood obesity. Like, you can't...
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, so he works with kids?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You see, that's the thing, is sometimes sexual predators make sure they're near kids all the time.
Well, that would make sense, because they're a predator.
Right.
But also, as I always say, people hang themselves.
Yeah.
Like, all this stuff, it's bound to come out. I mean, the same thing with Bill Cosby. Like, yeah, it's all these years later, but like... The truth comes out. You can only go for so long, especially being a public figure.
Right. And talking about Bill Cosby, and with him especially, a judge got pissed because he says this guy was like an example of good behavior, you know, he was a public moralist.
Right.
I mean, he would like castigate the black community for creating crime and family values and all this stuff. And so that's why the judge decided, I'm going to release this, you know, let people see who the real Bill Cosby is. So if anybody had any doubts and everybody was still defending him, the fact that this was released and an admission of his saying that he did buy drugs to use on women for sex, but he didn't admit that he actually gave it to them. Because apparently there was like an interruption in the proceeding or something. And, you know, he was going to give names. So something happened there. I don't know. I don't quite understand it. But going back to Jared, I mean, this guy's like, what, 15 years ago, made a name for himself by going on a diet, eating only Subway sandwiches.
He lost 200 pounds.
200 pounds in how long?
I don't know. Now you're getting
about a year or something?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. If I could lose weight eating Subway, I would be so happy. But yeah. I know he started like as a huge person. So probably eating Subway was less than whatever he was eating.
Right.
And of course, if you eat less calories and less food, you're going to lose weight.
Right.
Subway is not going to be a diet for anybody. It's just not.
Right.
It made sense for him, though.
Yeah. But I mean, you can get things at Subway that are not fattening, right?
Like yeah, but it's still never going to be a salad.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's got the bread. Did he eat the bread, too?
Yeah.
I don't know if he ate the bread, too.
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah.
What, is he going to just eat the deli meat?
Well, some people put it on... Well, they put hamburgers on lettuce and stuff.
When he started this, that wasn't around then.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, no, he lost a lot of weight, but that's the thing. Okay, so let's say he ate a 6-inch sub, which is, I don't know, 500 calories.
Right.
Let's say he ate 3 a day. That's 1,500 calories. Of course he's going to lose weight, especially as a man.
Right. He was probably eating 5,000 or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, of course, you're going to lose weight. It wasn't Subway that did it.
Right.
It was just the...
Yeah, it's state of mind.
It was probably a coincidence that it was Subway.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah. That's a good observation. The question is, why did he become so famous for something like that? And
he was
still after 15 years.
Yeah, well, he's smart. I mean, that was good marketing on his part to say, I lost all this weight because of Subway and branded himself Subway person.
Right. And then Subway probably figured out they probably promoted it all the time, you know. So it kept him in the limelight. Okay, well, here comes our guest. So let's go ahead and take this. And we're going to be joined by Frank Massa. Frank, are you on?
Sam, wow, finally, American Airways, I love it.
Yes, how you doing, Frank?
So far, good. Very nice down here in Montreal. Actually, believe it or not, Sam, I'm calling from the old video store I used to manage back 8 years ago, whatever you want to call it, the one that came up with the idea of 24-hour rental.
Uh-huh. And,
so I'm calling from right there.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's introduce what it is that you do. Go ahead and tell us. I see that you're working on another project right now. You did 24-hour rental last year. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, 24-hour rental was an idea that I came up with when I was working. I was a manager in a video store. Hence, Quentin Tarantino, you know, working in a video store as a clerk. I was the manager. So I came up with this idea called 24-hour rental. All these low-level criminals are running some, you know, crime in the store. And I hooked up with a director I met at the store. He used to come by as a regular, and we talked about it. And at the time, they were talking about web series, and I wasn't too keen about web series. So anyhow, we put some money together, and we raised our own money. We shot 3 episodes of 20 minutes each. I still have that footage. Uh-huh. And then we shopped it around. It's a five-year-long process.
Wow, and 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. Oh, yeah. It's torture.
Yeah, yeah, wow. But that takes a lot of vision, you know, to be able to say, you know what, in 4 years I'll get this done, although you probably don't know how long it would take in the beginning.
People tell me that I'm one of the first people to actually get a TV show on the air in Canada to a person who has no experience at all in film. I'm a musician by trade, but I dropped that. I just got bored with it. And when I discovered this business, it became like, wow, this is like crack. I want more, you know, so on. So I did more of this stuff. I want it, you know?
Yeah.
So I created 24 Rental, and like I said, it took 5 years. It was torture, even with the negotiations and the director, which I won't mention any names, but to just say that the execution of the show was not the way I intended. But anyway,
yeah.
It's airing on the Super Channel Network. It's been airing 3 times now. It came out last year on TV. It's on cable channel. It's like HBO Canadian version for you guys. That's what it is.
I see. So this is a series, right? It's not just the one?
Go ahead.
So that's a series, right?
It's a series. It was 13 episodes times 30 minutes. Yeah, we shot it about 2 years ago, 3 years ago in Hamilton, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Very quick. And then, like I said, it aired last year in February sometime. Then it aired again. And then it aired again this year sometime. I forget which month this year. They repeated again. So that's out of my hair right now. So, you know, in the meantime, the whole 24-hour rental, I came up with another series called Social Disturbed. And I started pitching to TV, but I was against TV because I don't like the way things work in Canada in the film industry. It's like it takes forever, and it's all about these tax credits and so on. So I said, wait a minute. Everybody's doing web series. I don't like web series. They don't go nowhere. You know, there's no way you can't monetize them. If you do monetize them, it's very short. You know, a web series is like a kid from college. Oh, I have a camera. I'm going to do web series. Oh, good for you.
Yeah, that's right. You know? You wanted something professional.
I, I got a bad taste in my mouth when Tim says Webster's. I come to ask, can I swear on this show?
Yes.
If you have to, yeah, go ahead.
Go for
it. Well, that question, if I have to. I express myself better that way, you know?
That's okay. Speak the way.
I'll tell the machine. So I created this show. I call it a smartphone series. I've been at it for about 3-something years now, and I've been very grateful with all the cast. I grouped up one by one. And my director, Jack Hackle, I just met, actually we just had a meeting. He's in advertising for 25 years, and he came on board about a year ago, and he loves it. He goes, this is the way to go. So I came with the concept of smartphone series with its own app. Now, we're going to launch a campaign for Indiegogo. But right now, Sam, I'm going to shock you what I have, who have cameos. And they're one of your guests, or you have your own show on your station, the Harris Twins brothers from Storage Wars.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yes. Yeah. They agreed to be part of my cameo show on my show. Uh-huh. We haven't come to agreement how we're going to do it, but they gave me their full blessing to come on show.
Very nice.
And, I talked to Mark last year, actually. I saw him on Storage Wars. I said, who is this guy, these guys, you know? So let me call him up. I found him. Next thing you know, I'm on the phone talking to him in California, you know, and he's in the gifting business. And I love Mark. I love Matt. I speak more to Mark.
Yeah.
And, they might help us out also with the campaign, Indiegogo campaign. We're going to add some perks for the Twin Brothers. So that, again, I can't talk about it. It's in discussions. We'll talk about it. So
sounds good.
So you haven't shot the show yet?
Yeah, I love it.
You're in the process of shooting the show?
No, what we're going to do is right now is we're going to do raise the money online with the Indiegogo campaign. We're going to go live in about a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried the avenue. I'm speaking to Jen, right? You're Jen?
Yes.
Okay. So basically, Jen, I tried that avenue of seeking funding from the Canadian Funding Department for this business, and it just basically doesn't go anywhere. They just don't get what I'm trying to do. They stick into the old format, you know. So I said, well, good luck to that, too. You know, I mean, everything's going on with me. So, I mean, as you know, you have Netflix. I actually will not even try Netflix. I spoke to the president late last year, pitching my show. And you know what he told me? I'm not going to say exactly verbatim what he said, but all he said was, we don't touch Canadian shows. That was it.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I agree with you 100%, and I don't hate you for saying that. No problem.
Right.
So I let it go. So
tell us what
the campaign. Go ahead.
Just finish your thought. Go ahead.
No problem. So, social. Do you think about the show? I mean, I send you a bio and everything, so I don't know if you did some research on that.
No, I do. But tell our listeners what Socially Not Disturbed is about.
Okay. Well, it's about the relationship between, we call it age gap or intergenerational relationship. It's between an older guy, younger girl. They work in an environment, let's say a cafe, that's what takes place. And then you have the two brothers, and then you have the manager, who's played by a friend of mine in Montreal, Guido Comello. He plays the older guy. Uh-huh. And he has no relation to the family, but he's part of that, you know, he's part of the cafe. And the younger daughter that work is, from the brother of Bruno. Her name is Alessia, and the father's played by Greg Grasso, and they established a texting relationship, but it's totally platonic.
Right.
But something happens during the texting, and he's not a texter himself, but he learns how, oh, I like this, you know? So to him, it's like eye candy. Wow, this is great. But there's nothing going on. But right. Something happens later on, she texts him, you know, she's bored, whatever, and it hits him. Wow, okay. Now, being said, in the show, she's 17, going 18. He's in the mid-30s, okay, more or less. So this goes, and then when that text hits him, then that's when they establish a relationship. Now, it becomes a bond. It's not a daddy, sugar daddy, or I'm saying daddy issue kind of thing. It's just basically a bond between old and new and how they hook up with texting and becomes a solid relationship and how they find each other and how they can get away from that technology and how they hide the whole relationship between the Italian family. Now, Sam, I don't know if you know anything about Italians, how they have their daughters, you know, they become prisoners, you know? So
yeah, there you go. Very possessive. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't change more ways here in Canada, U.S., doesn't matter. I mean, Sopranos, I mean, Tony did it all the time with his daughter and so on. So it's the same thing. So they're all overprotective. So if the family ever found out that this manager, Italian guy, is dating the daughter of the, you know, one of the brothers, all hell will break loose. So they continue the relationship. It's dramatic, the dramedy, as we call it.
Right.
There's very light humor. We'll make fun of the texting with the old school. They don't understand what LMAO means or stuff like that. They don't understand LOL.
Right.
So we play on those words. We play on that. So the cast is pretty solid. We just finished casting the young girl a few weeks ago. Now we're just going through the audition to see which one we want. I have my eye set on one. My co-writer, Katrina Totorici, likes the other one, but we're going to see to which one, you know, we're going to narrow it down pretty soon. We're going to narrow it down. And I'm going to send you a promo. I have a promo video that we shot late last year.
Okay.
About 3 minutes long. You're going to see, yeah, it's a nice visual. My director, Jack Hackle, shot it with his team. And I'm very grateful that everybody on my team is doing this because they want to be part of it. Nobody has been making money. Nobody's getting paid. They're just doing it because they want to be part of this, something new that I'm doing.
Right.
And there'll be branding in the show. So I mentioned the Harris Twin Brothers. I have another surprise for you. He's from Montreal. He's a comedian. He moved to L.A. His name is Angelo Talukas. Does that ring a bell for you?
No, but we don't Angelo go out Talukas. To comedy clubs that much.
Correct. But I call him the Greek version of Jean Pinette. That's what I call him. He's a big boy. And you'll see him in the promo too. So he offered to become a cameo. The show will have other cameos, both being American or Canadian, but there'll be celebrities well known. This is what's going to keep the hype on the show.
Very cool.
And we'll
so,
be playing with, yeah.
So people will be able to watch this on their phones, on their tablets probably too, right?
Tablets, yeah. It's an app you download, and this becomes your world to social disturbed or SMD for short. Yeah, it becomes your world. That's your world. And it'll be always on your mobile service, device, with notifications, what's happening. There'll be little games, a little interaction with the viewers. We're going to have a lot of social media, like a lot of fucking social media. I mean, you know, we have no choice. That's the way to go. And... you know, it's just basically going to be very, 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 it'll attract mostly women and then the men. The men will watch it for one reason, but the women will watch it for another reason.
It's a cool topic to tackle, you know, because,
exactly. The subject matter. Well, Sam, I don't know how well-versed you are in the age gap, or the age range, or they call it May, December, whatever. It happens a lot, but the thing is, it's not talked about. It's kept below secret. It's below, you know what I mean? Kept secret. They don't talk about it, you know? Montreal, we did a survey last year. We shot a survey, which hasn't been uploaded yet. We went around Montreal, and we talked to all these people on the road, and it was mostly women and guys. And we asked them questions about the age gap, and do you know anybody in that situation? And he said, yes, my dad is dating someone 25, he's 50-something years old. I go, wow, God bless them. You know? But it's not talked about. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? I mean, you heard about, what's his name? Stephen Bauer, the guy from Scarface. He's dating an 18, 19-year-old girl. I don't know if you heard about that one.
I don't remember. I remember him.
How old is the character in your show, the girl?
He said 17, I think.
Oh, you said 17. Is 17 illegal?
Yeah, she's 17. Yeah, when she's 17, everything's platonic. Once she turns 18... everything becomes, the whole world becomes blows up in your face kind of thing, whatever. It just blows up. And the secret has to be maintained. Her, she doesn't tell nobody about the guy. But the Cocomelo character plays, the name is Frankie. His name is Frankie. He cannot hold it in, so he has a friend of his called Jason. His real name is Brett Watson. He's the one who tries to tell him to stop. You can't do this. If the father or the uncle finds out, you're dead meat. You'll be, you know, thrown in the river with cement shoes kind of thing, you know?
Wow.
That's how the towns are.
Yeah.
But he cannot get away from it. He loves his world, and he just can, and the bond becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. But there's a lot of drama, and there'll be a lot of close calls where they almost get caught. Almost get caught.
Wow.
Okay.
Very cool. Yeah, so your mind is pretty wild as far as wanting to take it places. Now, let me ask you this. How did the idea come about for you?
The famous question.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, because it has to be born somehow.
Well, unlike 24 Rental, the idea came up while working there. I cloned according to the people that were coming there, and that I knew someone, you know, these people. I just amplified them. Social Disturbed, or SND for short. It came to me at the same time I was working at the video store, and by learning about this age gap thing, and I met girls actually dating older guys. Mm. So, and I asked them, I go, well, and then there was also the different religions, which makes it even worse.
Yeah.
So I asked them questions. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have a story for that one. So I took it from that, and you can say it's loosely based on true events of people that I know, but, you know, I just pushed it around and made it more dramatic. I mean, you know, true events are great, but you have to execute them in a way where people are going to watch it, obviously, right?
Right.
So the idea came from that. I knew a girl, she was 18 back then, and she was dating a 40-year-old guy. So wow. that came, I go, wow, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't question. I didn't judge it. I didn't bother. I don't care. I'm open for that. And I just want to know what was the attraction.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I think a lot of people would want to know, you know, so
yeah, people want to know. And let's face it, Sam, the women these days, the younger ones, Generation X, Generation Y and Generation Z, which is a new one, they prefer more mature men. They're tired of boys. They're just, you know, I mean, women grow much faster. We all know that. Jen knows that. So
I sure do.
That was a good one, Jen. I loved it. So basically, the women nowadays, the younger girls, just don't want little boys. They want mature men. It's not even sexual anymore. It's just more cerebral. That's what they want. They want to be similar to, you know, just with words or whatever it is that stimulates them.
Right.
And it's not sexual. I mean, yes, there is intimacy involved, but that just is an added bonus.
Right.
So in this situation with XND between Alessia and Frankie, there is a strong bond. Yes, there'll be intimacy, but we're not here to show you about that. We're here to show you the bond. Yes, they will embrace. There'll be some kissing. They'll go in the room, whatever. But we're not going to show you that. That you have to use your own imagination. The door closes, and you just basically go from there.
Right.
I mean, there'll be other sexual situations between maybe the parents, whatever, and so on, so on.
But yeah, it sounds fascinating. I'd like to see how this thing develops, you know, because it's...
believe me, Sam. Yeah. I'm on a roll now, and with the twin brothers on board, as cameos, it just makes it much stronger, and I really appreciate this American airtime you're giving me, and just basically to give my voice on the American side, and it's a pleasure to
awesome.
Talk to you about this.
So when will people be able to watch Socially Not Disturbed?
I would say if everything goes well, either by let's say late fall or early winter.
Okay, cool. Well, we're looking forward to that. It is an original way of distributing a series. And, you know, making it for mobile because it's so relevant today. And
Exactly.
So,
I mean, there's a speech I can send you. It's Kevin Spacey talking to Netflix, talking about watching shows. I don't know if you've seen it. It's about 5 minutes long. And he says, give people what they want. Binge. They want to binge. Give them what they want. This is why Kevin Spacey went to Netflix. He pitched House of Cards to the producer of the studios in L.A.
Right.
And he told him to fuck off, something like that, whatever.
Yeah.
And he went to Netflix and he said, well, how many shows do you want, sir? And the rest is history.
That's
my point.
That's
okay?
True,
so,
yeah.
It's just sad I cannot be on Netflix. I would love to be on Netflix, but they don't want to name programs, and which is fine. I understand that.
Yeah.
So you have to go the other way with Brandy. And so, Sam, when you see the twin brothers, say hi for me, please.
Of course. Well, they were on the air yesterday. Yeah, for those of you who are wondering who the twins are, those are Matt and Mark Harris. They have a show here Tuesdays, and they also are on Storage Wars. So,
correct.
So they're going to be on your show, and that's pretty interesting because they're very original guys. They were a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
A lot of fun.
I love the characters.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Frank Massa, we wish you all the best with your new show, with the new project, Socially
Thanks,
Not
man.
Disturbed. Do you have a website or anything where people can find out more yet?
You can go on Facebook and try to search Socially Not Disturbed. It's all information is there.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Frank, thank you so much for calling.
Again, my pleasure, Sam.
Again,
thank you again
success.
For time. And Jen, thank you very much.
Of course, and please come back when it's available and out.
I will.
Okay, Frank. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Wow. He's tackling some issues there.
Is that
Social
an issue?
Issue. I don't know.
I feel
well,
like
it is. I mean,
you're quite interested because you're trying to figure out how to date somebody that much younger.
But look, I mean, the thing is that, you know, but 18 years old, it's like, you know, what does she have to talk about with a 35-year-old or something?
Well, that's what the whole point is, that now they're a lot more mature than, like, females are just, more mature than men in the first place. But also now we have, like, so much technology and we're, like, we have information and we're growing up way quicker than we ever were.
That's true. Yeah. So who knows?
I'm periscoping, by the way.
Yeah, I know
this.
So
if anybody wants to watch us while we're talking, you can follow along at Jennifer Golden on Periscope.
Do people ever watch this? I mean, you know.
Of course.
So it's just live, right?
Yeah. Say hi.
Cool.
Wave, Sam.
Hi, everybody. We're right here.
Here we are.
Yeah.
I actually forgot about Periscope for a while, and then a friend wrote me yesterday and was like, do you remember that app Periscope you were so obsessed with? Well, you're losing in the hearts game. So I need hearts, guys. Show me you like what I'm doing or something. I don't know.
So, oh, yeah. They give you hearts when they
see,
like it?
Can you see right there? Like, people are giving hearts.
Right.
So, yeah. So, that's how, like, instant gratification. Like,
oh, wow.
Now.
So you're giving hearts.
Yeah. Now, while, you know, we're talking. Hi, Josefina. I'm doing it just for you. Like, with the radio show, we don't have instant gratification. I have no idea who's listening. But right. With Periscope.
Yeah.
These people are listening.
There you go.
Yay. Yay. All right.
The things that make us happy, you know?
I mean, it's quite silly. But this generation, we need, like, instant gratification and all the validation we can get.
Yeah.
So, hearts.
There you go.
So, what else is going on?
Well, thanks, Frank, for calling in and with stimulating conversation. I promoted on Facebook we're going to have an NFL player tomorrow. But he's not going to be here because he's going out of town. So if you guys are we're going to listen tomorrow for him, just watch. We'll announce when he's going to be on, but next week, probably Tuesday or something. And that would be cool because it's always cool to have football players, famous athletes, and they work on some charity things as well. So.
I'm going to need to know what to ask them because I don't speak football.
I know. Well,
Casey was giving me some hints downstairs, so yeah. I'm getting my questions ready
okay.
so I can be involved in the conversation.
You will, because, I mean, we always take the conversation in many different directions, and all you have to do is be involved in it.
I'll probably just ask who they're dating or married to or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to talk football that much. I mean, I haven't been up on it at all.
Well, no, and it's football. Like the off season, but also they have an organization. That's the whole point. So,
I
like charity.
Tell us about it, yeah. But it's cool, you know, and it's fun because it's brothers that one plays for the Baltimore Ravens and one for the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, wasn't that like who played each other in the Super Bowl last year?
Was it them?
I think that that's the whole.
No,
point.
No, but they weren't. Those teams were not in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were.
The Raiders. The Raiders haven't been in the Super Bowl in years.
Oh, no, I'm thinking the 49ers.
Yeah, you're thinking the 49ers.
Whoops.
And there's also that quarterback, what's his name? God, why am I forgetting? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't speak football.
Yeah, there's at least a couple of sets of brothers that I know of, but I don't remember their names, man.
I don't either, clearly.
Yeah. So, so we talked about Bill Cosby now. There you go, attraction to the younger kind. But, I mean, this is, like, ridiculous what he was doing. You know, I'm thinking, look, when you take advantage of an underage girl that can't give consent, it's bad enough. And you're screwing her up enough. Now, to give her a Quaalude, I mean, do you know what a Quaalude is? We used to take them in the 70s. Those are like tranquilizers. I mean, you take it and you're like frozen. You know, the song Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd was probably written about Quaaludes. That's about the same time it came out. And it... I mean, look, it feels good. It feels nice to touch and everything, but there's no way you can make any good judgments. I mean, I remember when right out of high school I was going to go to college, I enrolled into UNLV. I was living in Vegas at the time, but that was also a time when we were doing lewds, and there's no way. I mean, I was doing so poorly in the school that I just dropped it. And, it's not very good drugs to do.
So what happened to them? They, like, abolished the drug?
Yeah, I think they've been outlawed or something. I don't know what happened to them, but they have stopped making them. But, if you remember in Wolf on Wall Street, The Wolf of Wall Street, I think they were doing Quaaludes or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in one movie that I saw. And it's... so to give this to young girls, I mean, it's like... You know, I mean, it's outrageous. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you have, if you have to drug anybody to have sex with you, you should reconsider yourself and your life.
Right. But you know what? And it's like I'm thinking of that Jared as well. And I'm thinking, you know, I mean, how can people even think they can get away with this stuff, you know? I mean, it takes so much, like, balls to approach a little kid and abuse him sexually, and then people do it for years.
Yeah, I don't really
For years with the same kids. And, I mean, that destroys the soul. I don't care what you say, you know.
Of course it does.
Kids are so vulnerable to these things.
Well, also, I mean, that's why it took so many of the people that Bill Cosby had sex with to, like, come clean, like, later in life. Because, and also, like, they're saying that it's out of the statute of limitations because it's been so many years. But they probably blamed themselves all those years.
Yeah.
Or they, you know, they felt like it must be something I did to, like, you know, attract this man and why he felt okay doing this or whatever it is that happened in their brain that isn't healthy.
Right. They internalize it and figure that, maybe it was me or something.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty sad stuff, man. I think he should get, he needs to at least go to trial on this stuff, you know. Maybe they'll sue him like the civil suits, you know. Like,
but isn't it criminal?
It is criminal, but, you know, like, but if you said the statute of limitations is...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, applies.
Well, they should make a new law just like they do when they do it, like, about this.
I know.
Especially like with the amount of women. It's not like a mistake. It wasn't like an error that happened in his ways. It wasn't a period of time where he was insane. It was his whole life.
Yeah.
So, for that, I think there needs to be some kind of justice.
Yeah. So I understand Disney World took down a bust of his that they put up there. I mean, I don't know why they would have in the first place, but it just, I think, goes to show you how family-oriented he used to be.
Well, his whole entire image was Jell-O pudding for kids and as Heathcliff Huxtable.
Right.
The best dad in America.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
He's, even though those are characters he played, he lived a lie.
Yeah.
And also he was like on the board of directors of like schools and things like that, like colleges. And you can't promote doing good when you're personally doing bad.
Right. No, I mean, that's absolutely right. You know, and the thing is that I think that's what pissed off the judge and also a lot of other people,
right?
You know, outraged because here's a phony, you know, just like people that are against drugs and then they're caught with drugs.
Right. You're misrepresenting yourself and you're also profiting from misrepresenting yourself.
Right. Yeah.
And it is fraud. It's, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I know. So, yeah. Now, this is serious. I guess as we speak, the New York Stock Exchange has suspended its trading.
Yeah.
Because of some technical problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happened to the Wall Street Journal. And I guess it happened at just about the same time. And the, I guess the other exchanges are fine, so like the NASDAQ, but they're saying there's no suspicion, there's no evidence of an attack or anything, you know. So they're saying it's not a result of a cyber breach, is what they call it.
I mean, honestly, is it like being hacked, like by terrorists?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, who knows? But they're saying it doesn't look like it.
Well, of course they're going to say that because they don't want people to freak out until they know more.
Yeah. I know, but that is freaky.
It is because that could cripple our
country. And that's exactly where you would go, you know, I mean, to the stock exchange if you wanted to ruin the economy.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't, like, honestly, why they didn't just start there. Like, why kill people?
Right. And that's exactly it, you know. I mean, today there's so much damage. I mean, you saw the breach at Sony a few months ago and stuff. And,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. Also, there was, I remember there was a virus unleashed on the Iranians during their, like in their computer systems for the nuclear program. And it was, it's generally thought that it was Israel that did this, and but whoever did this, obviously there's ways to fight that do not involve violence, and you have to wonder, and our terrorists, our enemies are a lot more sophisticated than they used to be. So, you know, when you can't beat someone in the battlefield, you look for other ways to do it, I guess. I don't know.
It's scary times.
Yeah.
It's always scary times. I guess it's just scary for each you know, time period, what the scariest thing could possibly be.
Right.
I think, you know, technology breach is the scariest.
Yeah.
Because now we rely so heavily on that. We rely on money and we rely on our devices.
Right, exactly.
And things that work. I mean, can you imagine, like, if my phone is being slow, I freak out.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Your one job is to work.
Yeah.
Restart. But now I had to restart you. That just took away 3 seconds of looking on Instagram.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know.
I can't imagine, like, shutting down, like, major things.
Yeah.
Then we become, like, destitute.
I know. I mean, anything. The power grid, phone system. Yeah. I mean, we're vulnerable in many ways. That's why, you know, sometimes you wonder how come it hasn't happened yet, like you said, you know.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
No, I know.
Don't give anyone ideas.
Yeah, like we need to give them ideas.
Well, I always think that, like, obviously, I don't want to say it out loud because what if one person's listening and then they do it? But it's like, if I'm thinking it, somebody obviously already thought about it. So I can talk freely.
Yeah.
My ideas are not new.
Yeah. So you know what book I started? It's called Modern Romance by Aziz Ansari.
Good for you. Read that.
Right?
Yes.
Have you heard of it?
Can I borrow it after you read it?
I will. Give it to you.
I would actually read that book.
It's like an investigation into dating, online dating.
And he's hysterical.
Yeah.
He's funny. So funny.
I know. So I started reading it on online, like a sample of it, and then I ordered it. But
you mean you didn't leave it in the box and open it one day like a present?
Well, it hasn't arrived yet. I got the sample on Kindle and just ordered it.
Got it.
But I do have a box from yesterday I didn't open yet.
And when at what point are you going to allow yourself to open this new gift
today,
that you ordered yourself?
I'm ready to read the books.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jenny's talking about the fact that I mentioned that when I get packages from Amazon, sometimes I'll wait a day or something to open it just so I can postpone the pleasure of opening a package. But I do know what
that
it
he
is.
Sends himself.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. It is funny, huh?
Yeah.
But that thought came to me from Lauren, who said that she leaves the on the plate. She starts with what she likes the most and works her way to the stuff she likes the least.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we all have our kinks, you know. What can you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Microsoft is laying off 7,800 people.
Why?
Mostly from their... they have a phone hardware division that you have to wonder why they have one. Well, Microsoft came out with Windows for phones, you know, mobile Windows, but you know, then it needed phones to actually use it. So Nokia was doing that, and then Microsoft bought Nokia so they could control that phone segment of the market, and obviously they haven't done very well. Nobody that I know has a Windows phone. I mean, I've seen them, and it sounds like a good idea, but you can't compete with iPhone and Android at this point. BlackBerry tried it. It's not working. So Microsoft...
Well, I heard they were actually coming out with, like, a brand new one, BlackBerry.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, they did come out with a new one maybe a year ago, I want to say. But it didn't really make it, you know. But I know...
No, there's, like, another new one.
Talking about another one.
Right.
But I just don't see how they can enter the market unless they change to Android or something, because nobody's using that stuff. There's no apps for it. There's no... I think it's too late. The market's been won. So, you know, but that's a lot of people, 7,800 people.
That is. I wonder if they got a good, like, severance package, because if they're laid off, they get unemployment. I wonder what else they get.
Yeah, I know. You're right. And that's around the world, too. But, so we'll see. I mean, the economy, obviously, you never quite can sit on your ass and say we've made it, you know?
Yeah.
And with business, it's like that. You know, I mean, you can fail after years in business. So it doesn't mean that if you lasted a few years that you'll continue to do so. And companies do whatever they have to, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, the problems in Greece. So the economy is affecting the whole world, you know. So we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, there's a picture of the Great Wall of China. Do you have a desire to go there to see that? The Great Wall of China?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe in my lifetime, it's not on my first list of things I want to do.
Right. It just seems like very, I mean, it's an awesome thing. You know, it's so long that you just have to wonder how people made it, you know.
Right.
But I guess with China, they one thing they do have is a lot of people, a lot of laborers. So,
yes.
Yeah. All right, well, folks, this is it for today. Stay tuned for State of the Oceans if you're into environment and stuff. These guys actually like go in and stop and harass the people that kill dolphins and whales and things like that. They actually go there in boats and try to get in their way of doing that.
Well, that's good. As long as they're not standing outside of like the supermarket asking you to sign a petition.
No, that's not the kind of people those are. I mean, they actually do things.
Good. I like that.
So if you guys want to listen to that next hour, you can also listen to Peace Fund on the other channel. That's great with Adrian Paul. An actor from Highlander, and Ethan Dettmeyer, who's got a few shows here. A great show, also has to do with charity and everything, so catch that. And the rest of our stuff right here on LA Talk Radio. I guess somebody has to promote the station, right?
And don't forget to donate to our Kickstarter campaign.
Yes, yes. Tell people again about it real quick.
You can donate to our Kickstarter campaign for Lauren and I to get our dating show on LA Talk Radio, which will be so fun. And we'll talk about all kinds of things that people face daily and real funny stories about our own personal lives and have interviews with people that are, you know, high profile dating in the world. Yeah. Go to twodrunkgirls.net or go to our Twitter account and you can. It's Two Drunk Girls. The word two. T-W-O.
Cool. And you guys can go to the Kickstarter campaign and just give, you know, as little or as much as you can, but help them out, feel good about yourself, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.